is Molly, and I'd like to welcome you to Vegan Nation. Vegan Nation is an informational program featuring music, news, events, and interviews about the vegan evolution revolution happening worldwide. Manifesting freedom, health, and wellness. Egalitarianism, peace, and justice. The views in this program do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the station nor its management. I'd like to thank all our listeners for tuning in to Vegan Nation. We're joined for an interview with Dr. Will Tuttle. Welcome, Dr. Tuttle. Thank you very much for joining us on Vegan Nation.
Delighted to be with you, Marlene. Thanks, everyone, for listening.
Yes, thank you. And I also want to tell you how much I appreciate your wisdom and you sharing your wisdom. And I remember years ago when I read The World Peace Diet, your first book, that you had highlighted that the exploitation of animals is really the exploitation of females and how important that is to be aware of that. And recently I had an interview with a great vegan activist in New York City, Heidi Romero, and she had said something, and it reminded me of your writings, both in The World Peace Diet and also your most recent book, Food for Freedom, that women who are feminists and claim to be feminists but who aren't vegan, that really that is not a feminist, that is a womanist.
Right. Well, that's true. You know, it's one of those things that, again, we're all raised in a society where these things are deliberately hidden from us by our cultural upbringing, and we don't actually see or are aware of the routine sexual violence against female animals. And when we eat dairy products and eggs and anything, any meat, we call it so-called meat, then we're directly contributing to the sexual exploitation and abuse of females, very often not just females, but very young females. I mean, these animals like calves and pigs and chickens and turkeys are impregnated when they're merely infants and children, or children in human terms, just a few months old, because that's most financially profitable for these industries. And so all of these problems that we have in our society, the domination and exploitation sexually of women and of children, we see it mirrored in the animal agriculture industry. So if we care, if we care about women, if we're feminists, if we care about pedophilia, we don't want to have children be sexually abused, we should certainly be vegans so that we're not actually paying for that and eating that ourselves. In terms of other female living beings.
Thank you, Dr. Tuttle. Thank you, and I'm very excited about your most recent essay, The Seven Deadly PsyOps. So I'd really like to go through this in detail. And so I'd like to start with number one, herderism. And here is the last three sentences on this section that I would like to read for our listeners. In sum, this psyop of herderism, which is the living core of our culture, is the biggest and most damaging of all the psyops, and the one we are most urgently called to question and resist in our quest for harmony, authenticity, and meaning. It is the primary underlying source of all the other psyops. Only when we offer freedom and peace to the vulnerable beings we hold in our hands will we be worthy of freedom and peace ourselves. End quote. Thank you, Dr. Tuttle.
Right. Well, thank you, Marlene, for reading that. And that's basically the foundation of everything. Now, so when I use the word PSYOP, that's short for psychological operation, which is basically an engineered and sustained deception that is perpetrated on our society and on all of us in order to take away our freedom and to exploit us. And so the number one main PSYOP, which goes back thousands of years, actually, it's an ongoing one, is animal agriculture, herderism, the practice and the mentality required by eating animal-based foods. And so we're imprisoning, sexually abusing, and killing millions of animals every day and buying and selling them by the pound. So that that basically ensures that we will be similarly enslaved, because according to the fundamental laws of the universe, as you sow, so shall you reap. I also refer to this as the boomerang effect. If we're going to continue to insist on enslaving and harming and sickening millions of animals every day, we're going to find the same thing happening to us. And we're going to find people looking at us the way we look at animals. We look at them as mere objects to be exploited. And we find more and more that we are looked at as mere objects to be exploited as well, by a very powerful and wealthy plutocratic class. As I explain in my book, Food for Freedom, it's just really 1/10,000 of 1% of the human population, about 8,000 people, had have managed over the years to gather and collect and concentrate so much wealth in their own hands that they control pretty much the entire apparatus, the media, the governmental, and the educational, and corporate and banking institutions in our society. So that's the first psychological operation, is herderism. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Tuttle. Now let's hear about the seven deadly psyops, psyop number two, sexualization.
Right. Yeah, this psyop is one that's really pervasive, sexualizing everything. And it's something we don't really talk about that much, but I think we're all aware of it. Going into a car store and there's a woman in a bikini selling a wrench or something. I mean, everything is sold via sex, and everything is being sexualized more and more. And this basically damages us at a very deep level, so that we begin to look at each other as objects to be consumed sexually. And I talk about in this essay that I wrote recently how I was raised in this, in Concord, Massachusetts. Both of these two, I was eating animal foods, and I was an athlete in the football and hockey locker rooms. Of course, the boys all talked about the girls as basically as objects to be used sexually. And so I kind of marinated in all that, like I think most people do. And I was so glad when I left home and started a spiritual pilgrimage, and was really focusing on the spiritual awakening, how that evaporated. And I began to just see people as people. And the physical body is not our true being. Our physical body is a vehicle for us to express the spiritual truth that we are. And that naturally gives a sense of kindness and respect for others, and sense of oneness with the source of our life. And so this sexualization really forces all of us to stay at a very low level vibrationally, makes us into consumers, makes us easily exploited. And it's only when we go to a higher level and see each other with kindness and love and respect that we will be worthy of a society of freedom for ourselves. So it's really important for us to free ourselves from pornography, from sexualization of women, of children, of clothing, of objects, animals even. I mean, it's so pervasive, and it's really toxic. So this is a huge one, but I'll just wrap it up with saying that. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Tuttle. And when you have that listed as the second deadly psyop, the sexualization, it is very clear when we look at both animal agriculture and all the animal exploitation industries and practices, including all the animals, the unfortunate animals enslaved in the vaccine and virology, quote-unquote virology laboratories and the biomed, and on and on and on. All of it is based on the exploitation of the sexuality and the life-giving power of females.
Right, right. They're always inseminated against their will, and their babies are stolen and used for experimentation or for meat or for eggs or for dairy products. So it's a rape and kill operation for sure, the whole thing.
Well, now I'd like to discuss number three, materialistic science, as we're discussing the seven deadly psyops, your most recent essay published October 2nd, 2025.
Yeah, thank you, Marlene. So the third of the psyops that I'd like to discuss is materialistic science. And again, we are deliberately deluded into the idea from the time we're little kids that science and technology will save us, that science is really the only way to know the truth. And what we have to understand is that science grew right out of animal agriculture and herderism as a way thousands of years ago to manipulate animals so that they would be more docile and would give us more flesh and dairy products and eggs and wool and so forth. And so we've always used this systematic way of dominating and exploiting nature and put it up on a pedestal as some kind of wonderful ability that we have developed. And what we see is that the more that our science progresses, the more enslaved and deluded we actually become. And we've reached the point now where so many people are on drugs for chronic disease, where we have massive systems in place to surveil us. And we're not far away, if we're not careful, of a central bank digital currency that will only allow us to spend money where we are allowed to do so, and so forth. So our technology is really not our friend. It makes us, in many ways, more and more disconnected from nature and from our true nature. Our real friend, again, is spirituality, is loving kindness and compassion, is connecting deeply and authentically with each other, with nature, and opening our minds and hearts to the truth that we are, and realizing that, yes, we can have some ability to have some kind of technology, but we have to be very careful because it has a way of co-opting us, dividing us, and enslaving us, because it's used in the same way that we use technology on animals. And if you look at what our science and technology have done to cows and pigs and chickens, it's made their lives more and more miserable as the centuries have gone by, and they're hyper-confined, genetically engineered, mutilated, and killed at the youngest ages ever. So it's really harmed them, and in many ways it does the same to us. So that's number three, materialistic science, and the whole idea of materialism itself, that all we have is this world that we can measure. There's far more than that, for sure.
Thank you, Dr. Tuttle. And now, discussing the seven deadly psyops, let's hear about psyop number four, centralized banking.
Yes, this is a really big one also. And the basic idea is that we have a banking system in place that's based on interest that is compounded, and it's a fractional reserve system, so that when we put money in, when we put money in a bank, but then when we get a loan, the bank creates money out of thin air that it puts on its ledgers as an asset. And if we fail to pay that back, and this happens over engineered depressions and unemployment periods, then the bank just takes our business, our home, our car, whatever it is. And so over the years and decades and centuries, the banking class has been able to massively increase its wealth and then create central banks in virtually every country, with a central bank for all the central banks, the Bank for International Settlements in Basel, Switzerland, which is immune from pretty much all laws. And they are laying out a system of central bank digital currency, like that I mentioned earlier, which could very easily, again, enslave all of us. So these bankers also loan money to the governments of the world. And as we all know, creditors basically rule debtors. So it's very important for us not to be debtors. It's very important for us to realize that this banking class of incredibly wealthy people that own not only the banks, but the gigantic asset management firms like BlackRock, Vanguard, State Street, and Goldman Sachs, and others, that they control the corporations, control universities, control politicians, control the media and the entertainment, control the narratives and the beliefs that we have in many ways. The reason we believe what we believe in the most cases is because of the power of these people to determine what the cultural narratives are. So the banking system in many ways is really behind the tremendous power that a few people have. So that's number four. Thanks.
We're listening to Dr. Will Tuttle, international lecturer and vegan author of best-selling books, including The World Peace Diet and his most recent Food for Freedom, as well as many other books also. You're tuned into Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Molly Narrow in Worcester, Massachusetts. Thank you for tuning in. We'll be taking a short break, and then we'll continue our conversation discussing the seven deadly psyops, Dr. Tuttle's most recent essay. Welcome back from the break. Thank you very much for joining us on Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene in Massachusetts. We are very fortunate to be joined by Dr. Will Tuttle, who is joining us from Northern California. Thanks again, Dr. Tuttle, for joining us on Vegan Nation.
Oh, it's a delight. Thank you, Marlene. I really appreciate all you're doing. Thank you.
Thank you, and I appreciate your work worldwide. It's great to know that you have lectured all over the world and that you bring the most important conversations into the vegan community worldwide. Again, discussing topics that aren't often discussed, so I think it's really important. So again, I want to thank you for that. And so on that note, let's continue with discussing your most recent essay, The Seven Deadly Psyops. And now we'll go on to psyop number five, germ theory.
Right. Well, germ theory is another devastating psychological operation because it makes us afraid of nature and afraid of each other, with this idea that we can make each other sick. And again, this is one that really needs quite a bit of time to unravel. But from the time we're little kids, we're told to be afraid of germs and bacteria, viruses, and so forth, and that we can spread them to each other. And so this whole theory gives rise to a massive amount of pharmaceutical power because out of that fear, pretty soon we're finding ourselves always needing to be medicated against something. And very often it's chemicals and toxins that the pharmaceutical industry, brother, basically, which is the chemical industry, is spewing into the environment. So the main point is that we have petroleum products that can be sold, and you can make a lot more money with petroleum products if you refine them into petrochemicals. There's about 80,000 different petrochemicals that have been invented over the past 100 years or so. Pesticides, herbicides, fungicides, plastics, dyes, flame retardants, all kinds of different chemicals and products that are spewed out into the environment that are carcinogenic, that disrupt our hormones, that just make us sick in a variety of ways. And so instead of holding these petrochemical companies to account, the petrochemicals are further refined into pharmaceuticals. And when people get sick, we ingest these pharmaceuticals, which in many ways make us even more sick. And then we blame the whole thing on viruses and bacteria rather than on the chemicals that are making us sick. And there's many examples of this. So again, we have to understand that this has been going on now for quite a while. And instead of the germ theory, which reduces us basically to victims and our body to a battleground of warfare between these so-called malevolent microbes and drugs, which the pharmaceutical industry is supplying us. Instead of that model, which just enriches them, and with that wealth, they create a whole educational system of doctors that just further reinforces this way of looking at disease. But the alternative to that is known as terrain theory, which is holistic. It's seeing our body and mind and the environment as interconnected, and that the body and mind are always doing the best they can to maintain a homeostasis and balance. And that if there is an imbalance because of toxic chemicals or because of unfaced emotional challenges and so forth, it'll affect our body. And that very often it is the bacteria that are helping to clean up toxic chemicals and also to clean up the dead cells that are killed by these toxic chemicals. And so these really are not our enemy. We live in a much more benevolent universe than we are being told. And I myself, you know, as a vegan for the last 45 years, have traveled all over the world. I've hugged countless people with runny noses and sore throats and earaches and whatever, and I never get sick from anybody because I know no one can make me sick. That's just completely ridiculous. So I think it's really important for us to awaken out of this whole germ theory, or we're going to continue to be dominated and exploited by the narrative. And we saw it in the COVID time, and we've seen it in other times with quarantines and forced medications and separation and shutting down of businesses, all these terrible things that are completely unnecessary when we understand the germ theory is a psyop, basically. Thank you.
We're listening to Dr. Will Tuttle and discussing his most recent essay published October 2nd, 2025, The Seven Deadly Psyops. Thank you, Dr. Tuttle. Let's hear about psyop number six, overpopulation.
So the whole idea is that we have a system in place to reduce the population or to manage to cull the population. And it really follows from animal agriculture. We do the same thing with animals. We control their population, we control their breeding, and we see the same thing happening to us. And the population of planet Earth is something that is really up to us. And if we live our lives as vegans, we could have a lot of people here. I mean, the average vegan only uses about 1/8 to 1/10 of the land and resources of someone eating an animal-based diet, typical diet. So the most important thing is how we live our lives, that we live our lives in harmony with nature and have healthy families, healthy communities, and not allow ourselves to be culled by this psyop of overpopulation.
Thank you, Dr. Tuttle. Let's hear about psyop number seven, anthropogenic climate change.
Climate scientists know this, but they have been suppressed and censored because a narrative was put in place by the banking class, again, to distract us from the chemical pollution and toxicity that they are spewing, and have us, instead of that, focus on climate change, which is not their fault, it's our fault. So the whole idea really is to use climate change not only to distract us from the real environmental devastation that's happening, but also to use it as a way to centralize control in the hands of a few people. Climate change it plays right into the United Nations agendas, the 17 sustainable goals that they have, all 17 of which are designed to centralize control in the hands of a few people at a global level and to take away power and self-determination at local and regional and national levels. And the main thing that climate change allows the plutocratic class to do is to take away our freedom of movement. And we see now, because of climate change, all these agendas to have what are referred to as 15-minute cities, also known as smart cities, where we're not allowed to travel more than 15 minutes from our home, and that this is going to be something that we will agree to ourselves because we believe this narrative, which is a psyop, it's a deception of climate change, that if we drive and fly and travel and do anything, then we're going to be destroying the climate and we're all going to die from an overheated planet. Anything along those lines to make us afraid is not only going against what we understand, but it's being used and weaponized against us. And really, we have to understand, we have caring hearts, we want to do the right thing, but that very quality is weaponized against us by the people who control these narratives in order to take away our freedom of movement and in order to consolidate control in the hands of a few people. And the climate change narrative has been incredibly expensive. We've been spending about $1.4 trillion annually in the United States on research and development and so-called education, all to promote the climate change idea. And that money could have gone to much more beneficial things, like actually cleaning up the environment and replanting forests and repairing infrastructure and helping to feed and clothe and house people. So it's very expensive and it's designed to enslave us. So those are the seven deadly psyops. Thank you so much for allowing us to talk about those.
Thank you, Dr. Tuttle, and thank you for your most recent essay published October 2nd, 2025, titled The Seven Deadly Psyops. And of course, your most recent book, Food for Freedom, again, conversations that are very important within the vegan community. And I also appreciate your participation in panels on other platforms, including the Human Ecology Project with Marlene Watson-Tara and Bill Tara, and also the Vegan Community platform with Peter Goldstein and team. Again, very important. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Yeah, we do whatever we can to help spread the message, and we really appreciate your work, and keep up the great work, really. And thanks, everyone, for listening and for caring.
Thank you, Dr. Tuttle, and can you please share information about your website, The World Peace Diet, etc.?
Sure. Yeah, the best portal for us is worldpeacediet.com. That website has all of our books and has our articles, including this one, and has our tour schedule and has videos, and also including Madeline's, my wonderful wife's, cooking videos and food preparation videos, our intuitive kitchen, as well as our food forest where we grow our own food here, and spiritual teachings as well. So thank you very much.
Thank you. And I'd like to hear just a bit about your upcoming tour that you are leaving on next month in November.
Right. Yeah, that's true. In November, every year we leave here in our little van and we cross the country all the way to Florida and back, giving lectures and presentations and concerts in the states along the way. And that's all set up. You can also see our whole tour schedule on our website at worldpeacediet.com. Our music and art is also there. And yeah, things are getting set up very nicely. So we're looking forward to that and to be able to share these ideas and inspiration with everyone who attends. So yeah, thank you very much for that opportunity.
Thank you, Dr. Tuttle, and also thank you to your lovely wife, Madeline.
You're right. She's right here in the background, and she sends her love. And really, the whole idea in our ministry is to try to help awaken our awareness of the beauty of this earth, the beauty of animals, and not to be deceived by these psychological operations that make us afraid of each other, that legitimize us dominating and exploiting animals and nature and each other, and decentralizing the energy and food and information, so that we're more connected at the grassroots level to each other and to the earth, and really to the source of our life.
Yes, thank you. And again, thank you very much for joining us on Vegan Nation.
Thank you, Marlene. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Bye.
I'd like to thank my guest, Dr. Will Tuttle, for joining us on Vegan Nation, and I'd like to thank all the listeners for tuning in. You can hear this program again at vegansradio.com. The views in this program do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the station nor its management. Please join us again next week at the same time. This is Marlene in Massachusetts, wishing you a safe and pleasant day. Let's go out with more music by composer and pianist Will Tuttle. This is Alive.